Good morning. Could we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? If you were to think this morning about learning English, where does learning English start? Well, I imagine learning English starts where learning Chinese starts. If you were to think about a classroom, now many of you have not had the opportunity to be in a grade one classroom, but I'm sure you've been in a grade one classroom in your own country. So you think about what's on the walls of a classroom, grade one or preschool, what would be some of the things that would be on the walls? What do you think? Huh? Alphabets, letters? Well, that's in North America. Is that in China too? Numbers, letters. We need to start somewhere, right? We need to have a foundation. If you want to learn Greek, not sure you're exercised to learn Greek. I don't know Greek, but they tell us if you want to learn Greek, you need to start with the alphabet. English, you need to start with the alphabet. You need to learn numbers. Do you think that that's something we came up with, or did God start that idea? Do you think He has an alphabet? Well, maybe this. I think of children's books that help you to learn the alphabet. Usually they have a picture, right, that corresponds to it. So if you think of A, you think of A for apple, right? I mean, that's what we all... Now, in China, you would have a different picture. I mean, where would the apple fit in the Chinese alphabet? Would it be a picture on... where? Further down, I'm not sure. What does it start? Harold, you know this. Where does it start? You don't. But we get the idea. God has pictures. He has examples. The word we're going to think about this morning is the word types. And so let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Let's ask the Lord for His help. Our Father, we're grateful for your word this morning. Father, we're grateful that not only is the Lord Jesus in our midst this morning, but we have your Holy Spirit. Father, he moved men to write your word. We're grateful that the Lord Jesus reminded his disciples before he went back to heaven that the Holy Spirit would come and would be our teacher. And that's what we desire this morning, that he would move in our meeting. He would move in our hearts by your precious word. Father, that we would be instructed and helped. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some have pointed out that the Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. There's a war going on in the world for the souls of men and women. And so the devil is an active agent. He's a real being. His purpose, the Lord Jesus said, has been the same from the beginning. Murder, lie, destroy. And so Christianity is not exempt from his attacks. In fact, I suggest to you, he's quite active, even in evangelical Christianity. And one of the ways in which he creates a lie is by separating truth. One of the areas that are under attack today in evangelical Christianity is the study of the types. People think that because we have the New Testament, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. I'm going to suggest to you that apart from an understanding of the Old Testament, the New Testament makes no sense. Yes, there's things about the Lord Jesus, but even on the day the Lord Jesus was introduced to his disciples, and we've thought about them this morning, how was he introduced? Do you remember? John chapter 1. Do you remember the responsibility of introducing the Savior, the Son of God, to these devout Jews was given to a man named John the Baptist. And how did he introduce Christ? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. My wife, before she was saved, used to think one of the most ridiculous songs she'd ever heard was, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" She would say, "That doesn't even make any sense. How could that make you clean? Why would you do that?" I hope you understand this morning why you would do that. Why would you be washed in the blood of the Lamb? That introduction that John the Baptist gave to James and Andrew, hey, it made sense to them. It made a lot of sense to them. Do you remember what they said when they went and found their brothers? "We found the Messiah. We've met him." And it says they brought their own brothers to meet the Lamb of God. The concept of a lamb was a picture that God gave in the Old Testament to help people to understand. And so it's actually used here. In fact, it's a bigger idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as Paul is talking about how we continue on in the Christian faith and all there's this attack. He starts out, really, it's tied into this idea that him having preached to others, he himself might become disqualified. That's the idea. Having preached to others, he himself would become disqualified. So he said, we need examples, help. And so that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is talking about. He says, now these things in verse 6 became our examples. So we're going to, for our short meditation this morning, be reminded of the importance of these examples. In fact, Paul says to continue on, to be successful in the Christian life, we need to look back to the Old Testament and see how it went for others. The word examples there is the word we're thinking about, its type. They tell us in the original typos. It's used a dozen times in the New Testament or something like that. Here it's translated example. And so what's Paul talking about? He's talking about all these events, right, that happened in Israel. As they wandered in the wilderness, things happened to them. And those things that happened to them became examples for us. So we would suggest this morning that first off, events from the Old Testament can be types. You notice some of them that were mentioned, the rock. We said at the beginning that the types have been downplayed in evangelical Christianity. People have said things like, well, now that we have the New Testament, we don't need these pictures anymore. We have the reality. These types were important to God. They were important to Moses. In fact, the water is mentioned here, the rock. You read that story, you work through Israel's wilderness wandering, you find that two times they came to a rock for water. Do you remember the first time? God gave specific instruction. The specific instruction was that Moses would take that rod that had been smitten, Moses had used to smite the river to turn it to blood, that rod used in judgment. That rod would then in turn be used to smite the rock. And out of the rock would come rivers of living water. What was that a picture of, do you think? Well, we don't have to speculate. What was the rock? From here, that rock was Christ. That's what Paul says. And so that rock being smitten by that rod used in judgment, what's that a picture of? Well, it's what we remembered this morning. We actually had that. That idea was brought before us this morning. As I was hearing the brothers participate, I was thinking of that line from a hymn we sometimes sing, "Nevermore shall God Jehovah smite the shepherd with the sword." That rock was smitten once. Remember, that was the problem the second time. That's in fact why Moses wasn't allowed into the promised land. Why was Moses not allowed into the promised land? Do you remember? God told him many years later, the second time they came to the rock, that the rock didn't need to be smitten. It needed to be spoke to. And what did Moses do? He took the rod of Aaron, the rod of the Lord, not the rod of judgment, the rod of Aaron, and he smote that rock twice. Do you know what he did? He marred God's picture. That's what he did. The Lord Jesus was smitten once. Never more will he be smitten. And so Moses wasn't allowed into the promised land because of disobedience with regards to God's picture. He marred God's picture. These types were important to the Lord. In fact, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, we cannot overemphasize this morning the importance of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't speak too much about it. We can't exalt it too much. We can't make it too high. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ divides eternity. We don't know much about a past eternity. We know about things from the foundation of the world. Right? We have these kind of words, you know, the things that had happened from the foundation of the world. How many things do you know from before the foundation of the world? One? Peter writes to those people, he says, those Jews, he said, you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, appointed before the foundation of the world. Hey, the cross, Calvary, existed in a past eternity. What about the future? We read about the future this morning. We don't know much about heaven. What's it going to be like? What can you tell me? Street of gold? Yeah. Yeah. We know that. No sorrow, no suffering. We know those things and we rejoice in that. But we, quite frankly, don't know very much about heaven, do we? But we know this. The Lord Jesus will be there for all of eternity. As we were reminded this morning, gazing on the Lord in glory. Remember that hymn we sang, Eric, remember? We gave that out. Did you know the hymn writer says, every mark of dark dishonor heaped upon his thorn-crowned brow, that the Lord Jesus bears those marks in glory, and he will for all of eternity as the cost of our redemption. And so this concept, the cross being linked with the past eternity, linked with eternity future, is the most important event in all of time. That's what we're reading about here. Verse 50, it says this, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. What did God the Father do? The Lord Jesus Christ bowed on the cross and gave up his spirit. What did he do? The Bible says, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You think the types are important to God? They're important. What is that? The veil was from the Old Testament. It was a picture. And it's very important to God the Father. He rent the veil. What's it a picture of? Well, again, those are one of the things we don't have to speculate on. The book of Hebrews tells us. His body. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life, he gave his body, and it opened the access for us into the presence of God. Types are important to God. And so we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that events that happened in the Old Testament could be types, can teach us. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern he had seen. He saw the reality in heaven. That's what the writer is telling us. The tabernacle that we read about in how many chapters in the Old Testament? Almost 50 chapters in the Bible speak about the tabernacle. You think it's important? It's a pattern of the reality. And the word here, pattern, is our same word, type. So our first example from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we were reminded of this idea that events in the Old Testament be types and they can teach us. Here we read things. Things can be a type and they can teach us. I mean, in the old days, you'd have weeks of meetings, I want to say almost every year on the tabernacle. We need to understand these things. They help us in our Christian life. All right. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Oh, maybe we'll, before we go, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. This is where our brother was praying from this morning. This is the passage, Eric, you were thinking about, I believe, wasn't it? Romans 5, verse 14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam." Notice this, who is, and this is New King James, who is a type of him who was to come. People can be types. Examples. Pictures to help us to understand. Is that true? Well, here Adam is. There's one. Are there others? Solomon? Is he a type? David? Is he a picture? Maybe the greatest one in the Old Testament is never called a type of the Lord Jesus, but I would suggest he is. Who's the most important person in the book of Genesis, would you suggest this morning? Abraham? I understand your thinking. Isaac? Jacob? Well, the man I'm thinking of is mentioned more than those three put together. He has more chapters dedicated to his life than all those men do. His name is Joseph. Bill McDonald's book on the life of Joseph is entitled "Joseph Makes Me Think of Jesus." He came, story of Joseph, loved of his father, went down to his brethren. They sold him into slavery. Does that remind you of anybody? It makes us think of the Lord Jesus. Pharaoh changed his name. He called his name, rather than Joseph, Zaphnath-Paneah. You know what that means? Savior of the world. That's what Pharaoh called Joseph. Does that remind you of anybody? Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus. Or at least he makes us think about Christ. Here from Romans chapter 5, we learn that people can be types. The importance of the study of the Old Testament. So we started with events. All of these events, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, help us as we work through our Christian life. Then we move to Acts chapter 7, which thought about things. The tabernacle is just one of them. There's lots of things that help us to understand. And then we learn people. People can be types and they can help us to see the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 8. So we think of all the duties that were performed in the Old Testament, the priestly duties, the priestly service. Hebrews 8, verse 1 says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also having something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern showing you on the mountain. It's the same word, pattern, type. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, Resurrection Sunday, when he met that couple on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, he could take the Old Testament scriptures and he could show them in all those things, in all those scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's what warmed their hearts. It established them, it changed their lives. And so as we think about study of the English language and how it's built, the whole concept on starting and building a foundation, we need that with the Word of God. People have lots of confusion today. What the pictures say, for instance, in the book of the Revelation. Part of the challenge is that's at the end of the book. You start at the beginning and read through. Hey, some of the tough questions people have with regards to the revelation of Jesus Christ make sense. because they've come to understand the pictures. Some have said in the past that God has gone to great lengths to reveal His Son to us. So all of those things we read in the Old Testament, those events, those things, some of those people are types that help us to understand His person and His work. I don't suggest we're going to be able to understand it in this life. We were reminded this morning it'll take all of eternity to come to understand the magnitude of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf. But we can start to appreciate Him by the study of His Word. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word this morning, how it ministers Your Son to us. Father, we ask for help as we think through these things today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.